Boo.
It is Monday, October 8th, and we are the Freaking Awesome Podcast, I think I said. We are Venom, and joining me today is my wife, Audrey. My wife, my sunshine. I can't do this voice too much. I think I'm really hurting my voice.
Why'd you keep going then?
I don't know how long. It almost sounds like Batman. Hello. Yes, that was my symbionite. Oh, well, how do they say it?
Symbiote.
Symbiote. Talking there. His name is Venom. He's from a meteor that almost hit or far away comet that's far away from our atmosphere. I'm John Abaya, everyone.
Everything's far from our atmosphere.
Welcome to a brand new episode. If you are new to the podcast, we usually discuss the things that we are usually and give our impressions or. Well, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, played, listened, and read throughout the week. We usually begin the episode with a trailer talk, and we end the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion, if you haven't guessed it, is Sony's, not Marvel's, Venom. Well, technically, it is Marvel, but Sony is.
Sony gets the money.
You get some money. It's a whole, like, weird deal they have with Marvel Studios, the film division with Sony. I will explain that later on in the podcast. But yeah, welcome, a brand new day, a brand new episode, in two in a row. But who's missing again? My brother again.
Well, he's not missing. These are ours.
Well, he's been missing. Well, wait, what?
These are ours that we're doing.
Oh yeah, these are ours that he doesn't know about. We secretly do, but have him know. He usually keeps us in this weird time schedule, all of us. So, additional to the part where I only talk to my wife on the podcast and we have this board throughout the house and that's how we communicate with each other, my brother also has the schedule among the people in the cast that we have to follow really strictly. So, there's a whole bunch of stuff in their little group of family and friends that we have to maintain.
Yeah, he's really controlling.
He is controlling. Yeah. We should revolt. Or we should start a union. One of those.
We should riot.
Riot. Oh, you'll see. Oh, this is my ghost voice. Ooh, can you make a ghost voice? Ooh. It is Halloween. Ooh. And we are going to keep the spooky tradition. How are you this Hallows? No, it's not even Halloween. What do you call Quacquacquover? Inktober? No.
October.
October make it scary. Horror-tober?
Spooktober.
Spooktober. Yeah, that's actually... I think our Twitter thing is called Spooky Awesome Podcast or something like that.
Oogie Boogie. What do they do? Oogie Boogie.
I don't know.
1, 2, 3 Lane or something.
She's referencing CBB. I won't say what CBB is. You just look it up. Mm. It's not CBR. That's another whole thing. But well, how are you again?
I'm bootyful.
Beautiful? Ooh. Bootyful. I'm fantastic.
There you go. I like that one better.
What have you been doing this? Well, besides the stuff, how are you this week? Because we never done an episode where we did it back to back. I don't believe. I don't know. I might be wrong. I don't know. How is
no
it?
No one's gonna check.
Yeah, no one's check. Yeah,
I'm not gonna check.
It's so. October. We did go to a fan fest thing for Sacramento Kings, and that was fun. But I wasn't expecting that. Like, it was very different than I thought it was going to be.
What did you expect it to be?
I thought they were going to play a game, like a scrimmage game.
Yeah, they, like, did drills, I guess?
Yeah. And then those drills reminded me of when I played basketball. In a school. Not, like, an actual team, but part of PE.
So just PE is not even, like, a
real... No, but it's basketball class. So we did have basketball class. But those same drills are they doing where you do the... 2-3 defense.
Okay, the game hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't changed at one bit. There's a 3-pointer, a 2-pointer, field goal,
what's a 1-pointer?
And Five star pointer. Mm-hmm. Or the Rock and Jock sports, or MTV Rock and Jocks thing.
What is that?
You've never watched that?
I think so. Rockstar and a jock play sports.
Before we even...
I think NSYNC was on there. I think Joey was on there.
Yes. So, BTS behind the scenes. That's what I think. Or it's the band.
You know, I was watching videos of something these people... what is it called?
BTS?
No, not them. When they do the special effects, it's the same. It's the people, I guess, who are responsible for a lot of the things.
Okay, are you talking about the thing?
Yeah, the thing and the alien. I think we were watching the same thing.
It's on our
It kept saying something BTS. I'm like, what is BTS? And I realized that they were filming. I was like, oh, okay, they're filming the film. And then I was like, oh, it's behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It took me a few videos.
Not the boy band or the current favorite boy band right now.
Your current favorite boy band?
No, not my current favorite boy band. Well, I've listened to some of their songs.
I think we listened to two songs.
Yeah, two songs. They were on actual radio at one point. Mm-hmm. I forgot what channel.
Radio.
Yeah.
But I don't listen to actual radio.
Yeah.
I listen to my phone.
What was I saying? Oh, behind the scenes. I think this is the first time we're talking to each other face to face, and there's a microphone in between us. So the setup is we're talking one microphone right now. But I put
we
it
always
where,
talk on one microphone.
Well, yes, but it's always a side view. Like,
so now we need two of those pit guard things.
Yeah. Well, this is a setup. It's okay. What we were talking about? There was something else before
BTS.
That. Not BTS. There was something way before.
You were saying behind
before.
The scenes.
No. What was it? I don't know. It was something with like...
So do you always know what videos I watch?
Yes.
I mean that.
We all share the same account. I know what my kids watch. Mm-hmm. A lot of Fortnite stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of... what's that guy? The I don't know what YouTuber.
They watch Dan TDM and then that guy with the hamburger.
Yeah, yes.
CESB.
It's like a group of friends or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much family friendly type YouTubers.
I like the odd ones out.
Yes, yeah, he's cool. I totally forgot what I was talking about with.
Doesn't matter. No one's listening.
Yeah, no one's listening at this point. So we're going to start with a trailer. And this week's trailer is The Chilling Adventure of Sabrina. Oh, wait. I should say Netflix Chilling Adventure of Sabrina.
It's not Netflix.
It's Netflix.
But the way you said it.
Oh,
it's an original Netflix. What does it say? Show?
This is where production? This is where we don't talk so I can input the trailer.
Yeah, okay. No,
so let me start again. Now.
Are you willing to forsake the path of light and follow the path of night?
It's very tempting. It's very tempting.
I can't do this.
You must.
I shall deliver Sabrina.
You're going to die, half-breed.
Girls. Let's not be catty bitches,
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed that really quick clip of Sabrina and this teenage witch. No, I probably input the old TV series.
We should just watch that.
instead. But yeah, so Netflix is actually releasing a new Sabrina show. It's called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It is the producers of the hit TV show on CW, Riverdale. I used to watch the first season. I enjoyed it, but it got too much into teens or... The drama is too much for me. I like the goofiness of it, but it was just
too CW.
Too CW. I always reference there's a CW gloss of things every time I see stuff in CW. This is a Netflix show, but still the same producer and is of course producing it. IMDb states is as her 16th birthday nears, Sabrina must choose between the witch world of her family and
which
the
world?
Human world of her friends.
Which world?
Based on the Archie comic. Which world?
Which world?
The haunting world of the witches. You know, I say what? That witch? That witch, I believe, is a witch.
Which one?
I don't know. The witch, which one? I know what you're saying. Are we doing that one bit in Lucy and Ricardo where he pronounced the... Ricky Ricardo, where he can't pronounce enough, or I don't know, I don't want to explain that joke. It's a better joke if you watch that and search that up. So there's a brand new series starring Sabrina. It's actually based or that's starring Sabrina, based on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or not even the Teenage Witch, but it's mostly based on a comic book series, a short one called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So this is not a remake of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch yet. This is actually about that series. It's like a more matured version of Sabrina, you can say. So this show is starring Richard Coyle, Lucy Davis, Tati Gabriel, Michelle Gomez. I don't believe that's the other Michelle.
Michelle Gomez.
What am I thinking about?
Rodriguez?
I think Michelle Rodriguez, yes. Ross Lynch, Miranda Otto, Chance Perdomo, and Bronson Pichuak. Bronson Pichor. And playing the Sabrina Spellman is Kiernan Spikaka?
Shipka.
I'm terrible with names and Missy. I cannot pronounce it. Yes.
Shipka.
So, are you, Audrey, a fan of Sabrina the Teenage Witch? And are you interested in watching this because now it's more matured?
I keep thinking of like the old Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but I'm actually thinking of Clarissa Explains It All.
Oh, because the same actress. Yeah.
The trailer confused me because it looks like it's supposed to be portraying that she's conflicting between both worlds or two worlds, but then it shows her doing a bunch of spells and everything, and then I'm like, okay, are you just using it to your advantage, or is it just like they don't say why she, like, they say, oh, I reject it, but then she doesn't say why she has to go back to her witchness to, like, save the human world, which is, I'm assuming, is what is happening. So, I mean, do I want to see it because it's more mature?
Mm-hmm.
No, it looked like it. I can't tell if it's trying to be very Happy Days, and I don't know if Riverdale does that same thing.
Sometimes in Riverdale, like when they do like daydream sequences, it shows them with the original outfits. Like Jughead has that weird crown that I don't even know why a person would wear that crown, and Archie will have that jacket with the A on it and stuff like that. And Betty and Veronica will have the traditional color scheme they have, like Veronica's dark, Betty is light, basically. So
I don't know, it doesn't, I mean, I like witches and stuff, but it doesn't seem to interest me. Maybe because she's 16,
probably,
and it's like, oh,
you mean it's still teenage drama. Yeah,
dark baptism.
So I'm actually interested only because it is witches, it looks more dark. If it's the same tone of like American Horror Story, like that style,
and I think because she looks like an adult here, I think that's what's confusing me.
Yeah, she does look more adult. She does not look like a 16-year-old. Like, I guess if you dress her up like that, yeah,
not really. She's very over sexualized, and I know it's supposed to be like, ooh, like she's this light in the darkness with her red lipstick and everything, but she seems extremely mature.
But there's a lot of scenes here that are reminiscent of horror movies. So there's, in the trailer, they show, like, of course, the beginning of it is, I'm coming for you, Barbara, from Night of the Living Dead. And then they walk into, like, a weird cemetery thing. And
no, that's her house.
Her house? Oh, yeah. It's, like, near, like, a spooky woods or something like that. Mm-hmm. But they do, like, show scenes of her calling the devil or, like, a demon-type figure
that has
a goat monster. But one scene that really caught my eye, it looks like straight up like Evil Dead, where a plant is attacking her and grabbing her from the legs and, like, dragging her. So straight up, like, from Evil Dead, the style of it. And even the color scheme they use, like, kind of grayish and stuff like that. And there's, like, a scene where this weird monster or thing's chasing her in this maze thing. Or I don't know what is that. But that, if it has a good balance of like horror elements, I'll watch it. Just because
if it has a corn maze, you're totally into it.
No, but they have the like the style and themes of other horror movies. You see, I don't know, that's what they're going for. Like, oh, we're trying to get that horror crowd, so we'll put as much of this stuff still trying to balance it. But it also has that weird charm element, or not charm. What's that movie?
The CW-ness.
No, that movie where it's the three witches and they're like four witches where. Like one of the witch burned her back a long time ago, and they do a spell.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not char.
Witchcraft? No.
The craft. So they have like an element of the craft in there because you see these other mean girls that are witch, but they're all dressed alike.
Yeah, and then like she's a leader and all
that. Yeah. Well, I think they want her to be the leader of that thing, and then she gets into it and stuff like that. Also, the beginning scene.
And then it says she's half mortal, but then it showed it looked like both of her parents were witches. So I don't understand how is she half mortal.
I don't know too. I only know the aunts, Hilda and the other one. I have no idea what the other one's called. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. They only name call Hilda, and I was like, oh, that's Hilda. I remember that name.
That's right. Her mom isn't there in the show. It's only the aunt.
Yeah. They I don't know what in the TV show the
even in ABC. Practical Magic too. The mother.
Wait, is that based on Sabrina?
No, but it's interesting too, where the girls are raised by the aunts too.
Ah, okay. I did not know that. I've never really watched Practical Magic.
And Harry Potter, the parents die too, and raised by his aunt
and
uncle.
How about the other witch story?
Which one?
Witches. Oh, that one.
Witches. The one Hocus Pocus?
Hocus Pocus.
Well,
the kids. No. Because the parents are there. The kids just ran, and I forgot how that. There's that one where the boy turns into a mouse, and there's a whole bunch of witches in the hotel, and he has to stop them.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one, too. Because they do a great practical effect of the witches being mouses. And there's another one.
Angelica Houston.
What?
Angelica Houston, I believe.
I don't remember any of the people in the movie.
From Morticia, from Adam's Family.
So she is a witch in there?
She's the main lady.
I did not know that. And there's one more witch movie. It has what's his name in it that he says he sings a part. I used to remember. It's like it's almost Harry Potter ish. It's a witch movie that has a singer in it, a guy singer, not even a singer. He sings a part in there. It has like a weird like music video in the middle of the movie.
This is a witch movie?
Yeah, but it's like Harry Potter, but it's a female lead. Like, it's a little girl. She goes to a witch school, but it's almost like Harry Potter to
that
me.
That British show?
I think so. Is it a show?
I mean, this is like an old...
What's the guy? I know it's your favorite one. Rocky Horror.
Tim Curry?
Yeah, Tim Curry is in it. I don't know the name of the...
Oh, I think we talked about that one too. I don't think I've seen that one.
But yeah. Those are all the witches we know. Yeah. I liked it. I forgot. So I mentioned.
You can watch this when I'm asleep.
Yeah. I've like other. I might be ending up like two episodes in, and then I just fast forward to the last episode. Oh, that's how it ends.
She is a witch.
Yeah, she's a witch. So my hope, though, in the very ending, what I did enjoy. So there's a comic book I didn't finish yet, but there's a really cool comic book called Afterlife of Archie. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on the podcast. It's about zombies and how. I think it's Jughead, accidentally raises the dead with Sabrina, or he sees Sabrina. Sabrina's in it. So I really hope they cross, do it like
she's
cross.
She's in Greendale or Glendale or something?
Glendale, yeah. I don't know how far
he's
is
in
that.
Riverdale, and then, no, she's in something else.
Yeah, she's in a whole different area. But I hope they mix it up, because it's the same producer. But I want that story to be told, like a one-off. Like, mm-hmm. Take the actors from Riverdale and then mix it with Sabrina and tell that afterlife, like a zombie.
It's the forest. That forest will...
Yeah. But I want where it's not, like, in canon or anything. Like, you know, it's like another universe of Archie, but use the same actors and stuff like that. That's my hopes to have that. Moving, let's do a cool segue. That's not even cool anymore because I said the word segue. So moving from one witch to another witch that is a warlock. We also watch.
Oh, he's a boy witch.
A boy witch, yes. Warlock or boy witch. We watch another movie about witches because it's Halloween here in the Freaking Awesome Podcast. This one is called The House with a Clock in Its Walls. And basically, it is a kid's movie as a young orphan named Louis Barnevelt aids his magical uncle in locating a clock with the power to bring about the end of the world. That's what IMDb says. Directed by Eli Roth, surprisingly. This is actually his first kid...
Routh or Roth?
Roth. I always said Eli Roth. Did I say Routh?
Yeah, that's why I was like, am I saying it
wrong? Oh my god, it's Routh. Eli Roth. So this is his first non-rated R kid-friendly movie.
This is his first movie he doesn't write, or does he write movies?
No, he mostly directs movie. He does, I think Hostile is like one of his first ones. I don't.
Did he write Hostile, or is that other guy?
I think he did Hostile. I think he did write. I don't know. I mean, I have IMDb here. I don't really want to check it.
Mm. Yeah, don't click on the blue.
No. In the movie, starring is Jack Black, Kate Blanchett.
There you go.
Owen's Vaccaro. Twin Peaks, Kyle MacLachlan. MacLachlan. Renee Elsley Goldsberg and Colin.
Goldsberry.
And Colin. Colleen Camp.
God, but I hope you go up there and say, Colin.
Colin,
can you come to the office, please?
So, we watched this movie with our kids. Is very, very kid friendly movie. It's a family movie, of course. It's also based on a
what's its
book,
rating? Does it show it on
novel.
Me? Oh, PG, yeah.
Which one?
No. I was the rating because remember Lennox was saying, "Oh, it's they only have one curse word or something."
Oh yes,
I don't think they.
Even... So the movie is also based on. It's not a base. It's adapted from a book with the same name. The author is John Bellairs, and the book actually came out in the 1970s. So it's an older book. Before Harry Potter, so it has that same protagonist of a witch or a boy who wants to become a wizard or warlock. I guess they say warlock. I don't know what's the difference from a wizard and a warlock. Is wizard just more like
I think it's the term she decided to use.
So I can use
well, this one they make it seem like that anybody can do it. You just gotta like your uniqueness. And in Harry Potter, you're born either born or you're not.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. But you. Isn't Hermione a muggle and she
she's born with the gift or whatever.
Oh, okay. So you still need the gift. It's not like she's learning how to become.
No. Oh, okay. Anybody, you wouldn't be able to give a muggle or someone who's non-magical.
So it's like a mutant, right? Like you're either born with it or not.
Yeah, I guess.
That's how it is.
Yeah. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know.
So how did you like the movie?
I loved it.
Really?
It was so cool. Yeah.
Like really love it. Like, you want to marry?
Yeah.
So tell me about the movie. What did you like about it?
I like the how Jack Black. How
Jack he, what?
Blah.
Black.
Blah.
B-L-A-N-K. C. B-L-A-N-C.
Blanc.
He's the Spanish one.
Yeah. I like when he does kid movies because he puts on like a character, or it's just the way he acts.
That's not a character. That's Jack Black.
No, but the way he does it, like he's doing it like over the top, but it's still like it seems like a genuine thing, like as if when you're young and you perceive an adult that way.
Okay,
he has that kind of magicalness to him when he acts, type of thing, and he kind of he does it and with his facial features too, and he embraces. The character and stuff, like even though like he's overweight or whatever, he's not like a leading man type, but he'll walk around like he is, and I guess confidence.
I was about to say he has confidence. I believe that.
Even Kate Blanchett, I was surprised how well I liked her character, and I didn't get like annoyed by it, like where she was a snooty, like she appeared to be that she was gonna be a snooty old lady or something like that, but
what was her name?
I forget.
And here it says Florence Zimmerman, but they called her something else. But she likes a certain color, right?
Purple.
But it was a... Didn't they call her Miss something?
I don't know. Florence. No. He would call the little boy, would call her Miss Zimmerman.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think she like a witch name and yet a wizard name.
Yeah.
But I like the story of because what was it? The little boy, he was... impermeable, right?
It's another boy.
Abominable.
It's another
indomitable.
Story.
Indomitable.
Mm-hmm. It's another story in which, like what we mentioned in those other witches' stories or wizard war, like whatever. It's a boy who's an orphan and he goes to a place to learn magic. That's basically, I guess.
He doesn't go there to learn it. He had nowhere else to live.
Yeah. But the guy wants to teach him, the uncle.
Actually, didn't want to. The little boy wanted him to teach him.
Wait, what?
The uncle didn't want to teach him.
I thought he did, like...
No.
Okay.
The little boy asked when he found out that he did
magic. Okay. I don't know. So what else do you like?
I like that it was how it's like your uniqueness, your weirdness,
mm-hmm.
is what makes you special and what gives you the power. That's why Jack Black, what does he play? The saxophone really bad.
Oh yeah.
But that brought about beautiful magic. Mm-hmm. You know, something interesting. And
what's her thing again? It was her, well, she actually...
She lost it. She gained it back, but her power she used through her little umbrella stick.
Mm-hmm. She actually has like a...
Like a gem or
a
something.
A gem. They don't really explain that.
No, I'm sure much. In the book goes in much more detail of like, you need either you need something or you don't need something to harness or whatever. And so, then the little boy also with his weirdness and, but it was like the stages of grief or something.
Yes,
they'll
be
able to go through it and then, you know, coming out okay on the other end.
Yes, I totally agree. So this movie takes place in the 50s, I believe. This is after World War II. They do mention
something
about World War II a little bit in it. I don't want to like spoil anything in the movie that much, but they do mention something. So it gives you a timeline of what's happening. So there's no technology in there. Everything is the 1950s. I mean, no advanced technology. You don't see like a computer screen or whatnot. He's not on his iPhone. So you're in this... They put you in this world where before technology or advanced technology. So the boy has to like, he does watch TV. He gets inspired by a captain superhero type character and stuff like that. I thought that was cool. It's in that vein of like audio drama with the guys like, next time on Captain blah, 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 like that type of attitude.
I hope that's your captain name.
What, blah, blah, blah? Mm-hmm. What does he do? Give me a thing.
No, it's you. You're the Captain Blah.
Hi, guys. I'm Captain Blah, Blah, Blah. Here to save the day. Here's my Dakota ring.
Dakota ring.
Dakota ring. Yeah. It's only from North Dakota. You can go. That's a bad improv thing. I don't even know where to lead to that. But yeah, then they uses that like the scenery is really well. And
yeah,
stuff like that.
Like the world is magical. Mm-hmm. Still.
But the house is cool. There is a clock in it, and they're trying to find it throughout the whole movie. And they do end up finding it, but it's cool. Just you know,
I think I like more than with Harry Potter, where like the world is magical, like you expect it, but this you're in the normal world, and there's things in there that's magical, like his house and things like that.
Yeah,
I think I like that. I would like if I was a kid, I would want to be there, like in a big house with all these little magical things. I wouldn't want to have to go somewhere to a magic castle.
Boy, but they have like places with magic, like Ron's house in Harry Potter. The Weasleys is magical, right?
Yeah,
but they're not like living. Yeah, but they're not living in the different world, right? They're in Europe, somewhere in Europe. They're not hidden away.
I think there is a spell that keeps them away.
Yeah. Because, so in this movie, Jack Black's. I have to mention the book Harry Potter and this movie are not related to it. We're just using that as another way to talk about witches and thing or similar themes and stuff like that. His house isn't hidden away from anyone. Like the neighbors think that he's weird. Jack Black's neighbors, everyone thinks that's weird. People believe there's a murder there's a murder that happened in there. That's why people are scared and stuff like that. So they do a great job showing that the weird kid is in this weird house with the weird uncle. Everything's weird. Mm-hmm. But it has, you know, that theme of it's cool to be weird and whatnot when you're that young, or even when you grow up later on, it's cool to be weird. I want to mention the actor Kyle MacLennan. He plays Isaac Izzard.
I think it's McLean.
Kyle MacLennan. I've been a fan of him only since Twin Peaks. I started watching a couple years ago, but then I realized he's like in things I've watched over the years. I was like, oh, it's that guy. No wonder I like him in this one. He's also an Agent Shield. He plays the father.
He's like a character actor?
Yeah, he is a character. Like, he is in so much stuff. He plays a dad in Inside Out. I didn't know that for a long time. He has that tickle.
Oh, yeah.
That face, that, like that big jaw. Like, he plays a very authoritative type person in movies, so that's cool and stuff like that. And he does have like a huge list of stuff he works on. It's like a very steady career. Like, he not a huge list. I'm not saying he has a lot, but all his things is very steady. Like, he's in a lot of stuff, but I never noticed it until now. Like looking back and stuff like that. So he's great in the movie. I really like him. The one person we're not even talking about is a little boy, Owen Vaccarello. He plays
Lewis. Click on that. Lewis. I feel like I...
You've seen his face before? Yeah. I don't know where he's from. Like, I feel like that's
like, all... Like, this is his grown up...
Yeah, role. Yeah. This is, like, his main starring role. I guess he's in Daddy's Home. I don't remember him at all.
Can you scroll down?
In Daddy's Home in this show in here. But, yeah. So... I'm not a huge fan of child actors, especially. I think he does an okay job. I mean,
There's a couple of things like you tell, like when he gets older, he's gonna be embarrassed about, like where like he kind of overacted with the emotionalness of it. But I mean, I think he did pretty good.
Yeah, he did pretty good in the movie. Overall, I enjoyed the movie. The thing that got me off guard is the pacing of the movie. And the transition to one scene to the next is very odd for me. It's like, it feels like there's missing pieces. Like they shot something and they didn't show it. And I don't know. It just felt very weirdly paced movie for me to the point where I'm like, like it's a little bit predictable in spots and some, there's like probably one twist I didn't expect in there. But I mean, overall, it's like a standard type movie that.
I liked it that it was kind of scary, but it wasn't too scary for the kids.
No. So there's like a couple of scary parts where our kids, they are 7 and 9, actually close their eyes. And I didn't expect that, but this generation's like those type of scary movies where it's your kid's first scary movie, like to see and stuff like that. Because I can't even think of like, besides Goosebumps, and that's not really scary at all. There's no like, unless your kid is scared of dummies like a puppet, like a are they just called dummies? I just
realized, dummy marionette.
Yeah. A marionette. Why do we call them dummies?
Because they're dumb.
No, they talk though.
Yeah, because you're dumb. he says there was a dumb look on his face.
Yeah. Well, not that the guy. I forgot his name in Goosebumps, but he doesn't look that dumb. But yeah, overall, I think it's a great little family movie that you should watch with your kids. They showed Goosebumps trailer. I don't think that's a good movie, the way it looked. They don't have Jack Black in it. And I guess the kids...
He's the dummy in there.
I know, but is he still playing the dummy?
I assume so.
If he's still playing the dummy, he should make a cameo as R.L. Stein in that movie.
No, well, it looks like that he left. I mean, he did leave, but like it's... They're going in the remnants of his house.
And because it looks like a made-for-TV movie type style, the way it looks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not really going to watch that. But moving on, we also have another Netflix TV show. Hey, Netflix, if you want to put, give us some money, we're sponsoring a lot
don't
of stuff.
Don't do that. No. Decision.
What? What happened?
I said don't do that. It's not a good decision. Oh, not for you, for them.
Oh, okay. Well, why? We can make an extra, like, $20.
22 cents.
Can you just pay for a free subscription?
Netflix? Got it for free.
So... We're moving on to another Netflix show. It's called Big Mouth. We are actually fans of this from the first season. And it's basically the best... I'm not going to read it off IMDb. It's basically a good coming-of-age cartoon show that's very for adults. But at the same time, they actually talk about real issues that I like about. And I wish that actual teenagers just watch and enjoy it. Because they... Even though it's like the humor is very, what do you call that humor? Like it's all fart jokes and big boobs and like that type of humor. Like potty humor-ish. It's a balance of potty humor and that type of humor that some people might.
That's the same thing though with how the teenagers talk, I guess.
I don't really know how teenagers talk. We will know in like 5 years how teenagers talk.
Give us some time.
Yes. So. Big Mouth is starring Nick Kroll, John Mulaney, Jesse Klein, Jason Mantzoukas, Jenny Slate, Fred Armisen, Jordan Peele, Maya Rudolph, and Andrew Rannells. If you're wondering why I can read those names, only because I'm a fan of them. Because
they're most all of white people.
No. Well, Jason's not. Jordan Peele's not.
I know, but you said their names.
Oh, yes. But we're also fans of them, so I know how to say their names because they say their names a lot on podcasts, so I pick up on it and whatnot. So, we're not... I did not watch all the episodes here. Did you watch all the episodes?
No, not yet.
Okay. I'll finish it. Tonight. We're probably going to just talk briefly about it first probably 5 episodes of Big Mouth. Like I said, it is a bunch of kids, and it's them growing up with puberty. What am I saying that word?
Puberty. Your pubis.
Puberty.
Pubis.
I just realized I can't say that word.
Q. You're missing a letter.
Which letter is it? Puberty.
Yeah.
Puberty. Growing up with puberty. I just said the word and then I totally forgot. It's a comedy show and it's animated. So it has that same animation. Two I can say things. It's that weird, I guess, Family Guy with, you know, round eyeballs and it's that family. I don't even know what that type of animation. It's not a unique animation. Yeah. It's very like Family Guy-ish type animation. I mean, it looks like a show that belongs on Fox.
Yeah, exactly.
Here. So, the first 5 episodes, did you enjoy it? Did it make sense?
You watched 5?
I think, I felt like it was 5 episodes. I really don't know how many episodes that we watched. I think
the last one was the Planned Parenthood one, right?
Yes, the Planned Parenthood one.
I guess we did.
Yeah, 5 episodes. Yeah. No, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Yeah, we didn't watch Drug Buddy. So the last episode we watched is the Planned Parenthood show. Planned Parenthood show.
Mm-hmm.
Literally is a Planned Parenthood show. It is an episode of what I don't know what they call it in TV, but a lot of TV
like
shows.
A bottle, well, not bottle.
No, no. It's an episode where they do clips, like clip show. No, not even a clip show. It's an episode where people will be telling stories. Like there will be 5 characters, 4 to 5 characters.
And the main characters are playing the characters of
yes,
the story.
Yes, so they'll be telling a story, and then the stories will have those characters in it, like you just said. I'm just repeating exactly what you say. But each story is like a different style, a theme, mm-hmm, and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. A lot of shows do, like one that comes off of mine.
It's always the space one. There's always yes, the, well, like a Western one. Or
the Batman animated series had like a really good one like this, where at least 5 kids are trapped in this theater, and I forgot his name. Firefly is about to burn it or something like that, and then they're trying to get out, and then Firefly is in the very ending. There's nothing to do with Big Mouth. I'm just reminiscing those type of episodes. I mean, even what's our favorite show? We haven't even started watching it. Bob's Burger has a whole bunch of episodes like that. So what did you like about this season of Big Mouth? Or the first 5 episodes? Did you enjoy?
I like the body. Not, I don't like body shaming, but the whole the one where it's all about boobs.
Oh yes, yes. And we did watch 5 episodes. I don't know why I counted that 4. Sorry. Continue. I'm just looking at the list right now.
I like boobs. Mm-hmm. You like boobs. No, I like how they come to terms with your body and things like that. I felt that was. The things they said were things that I felt, mm-hmm, and, you know, still
as a teenager.
Yeah, or even now. It's like, because I think what I like about the show is even though these things, it's coming to grips with, like, when you first have these feelings, but it's not like these are things, like, all these issues and things, mm-hmm, just go away after, like, you turn 18.
Yep,
it's,
yep,
there are,
yeah,
things that, you know, you still deal with and struggle with, and I think it's what the parents are trying to teach them to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. I like it. I like her hormone monster or monstrous.
Mm-hmm. And, Maya Rudolph.
Yeah. And what's the, I want to call her Lavender, but it's not her name. The little black girl's.
Oh, name. The one that Jenny Slate, yeah, plays? Missy.
Yeah, Missy. Yeah. I like how her character's changed to where she was super innocent. Now she's getting a little more rough around, mm-hmm, the edges and starting to see the real world type of thing. I like how it deals with divorce too. And how she sees it one side, but there's actually two sides where, like, the dad, even though, like, the dad's not mad, you know, because he still loves her and things, mm-hmm, like that, like, where, you know.
So we have to mention, so, like, the Jesse Klein's character, Jesse, is the one that's having her storyline is about her parents getting divorced because the mother left the husband for a woman. Mm-hmm. So she turns out to be a lesbian and stuff like that. That's not the bad part about the thing. It's just the bad part is the mother left the dad for a lesbian. So, but she was cheating on her, and then the dad, mm-hmm, wasn't cheating, but he was actually he's struggling to become like a better person at the time. I think, like, in that
episode. Well, I mean, it wasn't that. It was more he was absent. He, like, gave yes, up yes, and yes, like yes. that.
Like, so he wasn't there with her for the mother, the wife and stuff like that at the time. And they're actually divorced. Are they divorced? Because they said they still live together and they're separated because the father, excuse me, again, I have burps.
They're going through a divorce.
Yes, but he lives in the basement while they all live on top and stuff like that. But they make it seem like the father is bad, like he's a deadbeat person, stuff like that. But he's also trying to, he's struggling, he's trying to be better with himself and stuff like that. So they, like you said, there's two sides of a coin where you can see it as, oh, the mother that cheated, doesn't matter if it was a woman or not, it's looked upon as a good person in here. But the daughter, Jessie, is questioning that. It's like, why she is considered the better person when my dad didn't do anything and he gets all the blame for everything else.
Yeah, but then she finds out that he's not without...
Then you find out what he
how he failed in the relationship.
Yep, yeah, how he failed too. So it's both of their... You see that it's both their fault. But they're also commenting like, parenting's hard. Like, that's... Mm-hmm. They were both struggling. Yeah, it's not a thing. Like, they show the other characters, other parents, too, in the show. And
I think Nick Kroll's parents are, like, the overly perfect household. And then... Mm-hmm.
John Mulaney.
Mandzukic is, like, you know, absentee and...
Oh, yeah, yes. I forgot he plays Jay on there. Mm-hmm. John Mulaney is basically... the dad is very strict, but the mother isn't. But the dad's always like yelling at him to be better for mm-hmm. himself and stuff like that. So it has all those different like parenting skills and stuff like that. So every episode is like that. So they do like one little lesson, and you learn from it and stuff like that.
I just saw today, even the Planned Parenthood episode. I think Big Mouth got honored at some planned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. For being positive or something. Mm-hmm.
That Planned Parenthood episode, real quick, it's not really a spoiler. It's an episode explaining Planned Parenthood.
It's not an abortion
factory. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. They also help men. I did not know that. In the episode, they help, like, you know, give condoms if you want some and stuff like that. But yeah, that's how the show is. It's basically helping you understand your body every way to the point where masturbation, your period, or the correct term, what is the correct term? The medical term, not just period.
You know it.
Menstrual. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just called menstrual, right?
Menstruation.
Menstruation, yes, yes. And also, like, your body. Like, that's why I said, like, it's a good show. I think you should watch with your kids when they're, like, the age that they're, you know,
when they're ready. Yeah, our kids probably shouldn't be watching it, but yeah. They're in there. Because he kept asking about, what's sex? Because I kept saying sex, like, in one episode just constantly. And then I was like, oh, when you're older, we'll talk about when you're older. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why can't I know right now? I said, because you're not.
But yeah, that's what they just talk about. And they joke about it, but at the end, they actually explain to you, like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of stuff that you're doing is okay with your body. They don't want you to feel... not normal or stuff like that, whatever quote unquote normal is. But yeah, that's why I kind of liked I really liked how the show, there's not really a cartoon like this, like a cartoon where they, even though it's like maybe made for adults, but I feel like teenagers should watch this and understand.
You could learn something.
Yeah, you can really learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, where you relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Like, if they only do this since high school, it's like, hey, everyone, we're going to watch Big Mouth today, one episode, and we'll learn about this. I think that's cool. Like, they don't really cuss a lot, and they don't really...
I kind of do.
Well, they do, but they're not, like, just keep doing it to the point. I mean,
dicks come out of a briefcase.
Yes, so, yes. So, there are things like that in the movie where, like I said, like poop jokes or stuff like that. That's a potty humor in general.
But they're furry, so I think it's all right.
Yeah.
Just a blatant penis and balls running around.
But yeah, I think we both like it. We'll continue watching it while our kids are asleep so we can enjoy it better. Not thinking like, oh, who's right there? So, moving on to another movie that's about
your body changing.
Body changing. Mm-hmm. This week's main discussion is Venom.
We cannot just hurt people.
Look at my eyes, Eddie. The way I see it. whatever we want. Do we have a deal? Eyes, lungs, pancreas, so many snacks, so little time.
That power, it's not completely awful.
You have no idea how much you're scaring me right now.
Eddie, cooperate. And you just might survive.
That was a clip from the trailer from Venom. I hope you enjoy that. I'll try to find a clip that has a lot of Venom in it. He talks a lot in the movie that I just realized he does. So this will be...
I don't think they showed in any of the trailer though.
No, they do like one or two like phrases he says, like "we are Venom" and stuff like that. So I just want to do this real quick, or not real quick, real quick. Just give me your overall thoughts about Venom real quick. But before that, if you don't know anything about Venom, it's basically a villain from the Spider-Verse that is a symbiote. Oh, God, I totally forgot how you say that word.
I think they put symbiote.
Symbiote. I'm going to mess that up because this movie kind of messes me up thinking the name. I remember the animated series of Spider-Man. They call it Symbiote or something. I'm just going to call it Symbiote. It's a symbiote that is basically like this weird alien thing that's goo, black goo. And then it goes to Eddie Brock, and Eddie Brock becomes Venom. Or Venom, we are Venom. So Venom they become Venom, basically, together. And it's basically Eddie Brock in San Francisco struggling with the symbiote. That's it about Venom. Real quick, like I said, forgot to mention, is starring Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed, Scott Hayes, Reed Scott, Jenny Slate again, and Melro Wallace. Also, if you stay after the credits,
Melora Walters.
So I don't want to spoil it. If you stay after the credits, there's also a hidden character, a secret character after, not even after the credits, after the first credits, he's in the movie too. You see that person everywhere, I think, in the screen, but I won't say who is it if you guys wonder who is that person. That's an interesting surprise. The movie's directed by Ruben Feister, I think that's the movie. He also is the director of Zombieland. And Gangsters Squad. Oh, not even director. 30 minutes or less. That's what I wanted to say. But yeah. Real quick. Now this is the point where I say, just give me your overall thoughts about the movie. Don't spoil anything major. And then after that, we'll talk about spoilers. So do you know Venom at all? And
yeah, I mean, kind of.
Do you have any history of Venom, like the history of him?
Do I have any? What do you mean? Do I have
not history?
Any?
Like,
I know him from the animated
series. Like, what's your history with Venom? Yeah.
I always thought he was like a super duper bad guy, like, because it was the duper. Bully.
He's a super duper bad guy.
Well, like the bully, and then in here he's not a bully, I guess. And then I don't know. It was confusing. I mean, I guess it's when you're trying to have an anti-hero or a villain be the protagonist of a, you know, the main star of a film, you have to make him a hero in order for a movie to be made. I guess they couldn't make it, or that was probably an arrangement to where he wouldn't be the good guy, where they couldn't sell it to kids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would have been better if they were to introduce him as a villain, like in another movie first, where he was bad.
He kind of did in Spider-Man 3. that we're not even counting that in the world.
We don't talk about Topher. But then, I think now what they're trying to do is make it a one-off. It's just hard when, like, you know something from when you're younger, and then someone redoes it and changes it to fit a new generation of kids. I mean, I think kids will like this, and we'll want to be like, "Oh, that's my Venom," you know. But
My Venom.
Yeah,
but like, I grew up in the age with Topher Grace.
Yeah,
the skinny Venom.
No, but I liked when Venom was there. I think that was
when anybody shows up.
I liked his character. I don't even think the CGI was bad. It looked cool. I don't like Tom Hardy's accent. Was he doing?
I don't. Portrayal. Yeah, it's a New York.
It was some weird Benicio del Toro accent working around thing. But again, I think that was something like they were trying to comment on mental illness or something. It's all right. I liked it when they were fighting. But then mm-hmm. I didn't like it when people were fighting because it's boring.
When
they were people and they were fighting.
Oh, they were fighting actual people?
No. When they were Venoms, when they were symbiotes, they were fighting. That was cool. That was fun because it moves around really quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, I like flashy things move around. But then when they're people, they're weak and they're just like,
punch. It's no fun. Well, they can't do... There's a budget to the CGI. So we're like, well, we can't do this.
We got like 2.5, 30 seconds. Yeah. you guys roll around.
Yeah, the movie's coming out in October.
I just don't understand how you can show it, because I'm always confused of like, I thought Venom looked like this because he took on Spider-Man first. And now that's not on here at all, and so he just looks like a Spider-Man, like
the eyeballs confusing. And stuff like that. I mean, besides the part where they don't show the chest of a spider, but they show like veins, white veins, to mimic that look of him.
I mean, I guess now in this verse that that's what they look like. They all look like that. Type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I assumed with their symbioticness that they would have taken on characteristics of the host.
Yeah.
I would think that would be it. But I guess them being like people, I guess.
I mean, that they don't even take the body type of the host, because Tom Hardy
did when she was a, you know.
The slenderness of Spoilers.
It's not a spoiler if you didn't say it.
Real quick. So,
and I didn't realize he just walked around with his tongue out. I don't remember that.
Oh, yes. Venom. That's a thing that he does.
Yeah.
That's how it sounds like with my tongue out. How do you even talk with your tongue out?
And when they're parasites or whatever. I mean, when they're symbiotes, when they're just goo, like, I want to see what they look like on the comet. Are they like a people where they can use their teeth and stuff?
Hey, Venom.
Yeah.
How's it doing, right?
Yeah.
How's your day? We're pretty good.
I understand, like, they're in our atmosphere and they can't survive, so they need a host. So they're just like a glob. And then, but when they're out there, are they something?
Mm-hmm.
Are they like a living thing. Something? Or do they also need a host out there, too?
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't have a host, they just ride around on a rock.
Probably having fun, having little slime fights.
That'd be cool.
Like slime ball fights.
Like Flubber. Yeah.
The Robin Williams movie. Or the other guy. I forget his name. The black and white version. Is it black and white? I don't know. Flubber, the original Flubber movie. Yeah.
That doesn't exist. That's not my Flubber.
That's not my Flubber.
Not my
Flubber. Hashtag not my Flubber.
Yeah.
So, for me, I'm a Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's why we had to go see it.
Yes.
I had to go see it.
Spider-Man dash man fan. What? Why did you just look at me that way?
Because you're like a dash. You have to like say the dash.
Yeah, you have to say the dash. That's how you say Spider-Man name.
But don't they just say Spider-Man now?
Yeah, you do, yeah. When you spell it. So, for me, I like the movie. Is an odd, very, 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 very odd movie.
Yeah.
Weird, silly, cheesy. I don't know. It's very...
There are bad wigs in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad looks in the movie. They have San Francisco. That's pretty cool. We live right near it. And I don't recognize any of the places they went to or where that building is. But you recognize the streets because up and down, or hilly type of streets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of night shots in this movie. They mostly shot at night. You barely see Venom in the day. I think it would have been cool to see Venom in the daytime because the colors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to do CGI in the dark because you don't have to work with light, so it's easier, you know, make everything.
There's no shadow.
Yeah, there's no shadow. That's why a lot of CGI stuff is in the dark where they do fight scenes. They mention it when you watch the BTS
I didn't do that episode.
Yes, they're dancing on stage and they're singing
in the dark.
In the dark,
low light.
The Tom Hardy's portrayal of Eddie Brock is very odd, and I'm going to use that word a lot in this episode.
You told me right in the theater, like, this is weird.
It is super weird. Because, like you said, he has this weird accent, this blend of
and
New York.
And she doesn't even have one.
No. I mean, like, and they're from New York.
Did they meet in New York? Do they meet in San Francisco? Who knows?
And you're talking about his fiance in the movie. I forget her name. Michelle Williams. Yeah, Annie. So, yeah, it's just it's not what I expected. The way he portrays Eddie.
Did you realize it was going to be a hero movie?
Huh? The hero? No, I thought it will. I know it's going to be because in the comic books, Venom, the character Venom, not Eddie Brock, becomes anti-hero with what's his name, Flash Thompson, the bully of Peter Parker. When Flash Thompson gets the symbiote, he becomes Venom, but he becomes Agent Venom, and he becomes an anti-hero.
He wears a coat.
Yeah, so I don't know. So Eddie Brock always, what I've read of him in the comic books, I don't read a lot of Venom, and he shows up time to time in the comic books. And the ones I read, he's always a jackass.
When I remember Venom, it was Venom. I don't remember the host part so much.
So this, the portrayal of Eddie Brock in this one is basically he's like a loser, but at the same time, he's like a good hearted loser to the point where
he's like a Vice guy.
Yeah, Vice. That's what, yeah.
Reporter.
He is a reporter. He's a journalist. He actually makes it. Like, that's the thing in the comic books. He's a journalist and whatnot. But, it's the new year. You can't just do journalism. Like old,
or
ways.
Is it like a commentary on men where it's like you got to take accountability for your actions?
Wow. I told you, I don't think this movie's smart in that level. Smart. Like, that's smart in that level. But I did enjoy the portrayal of Venom and Eddie Brock when they're together, like when they're doing their schtick.
It is like a good Venom.
Yes,
like
it's a good Venom.
Venom in the way he acts, but I just, the whole story of. Let's save the world.
Yes,
now.
Yes. But they explain that, and we'll talk about that in the spoilers of why it's like that. But yeah, so it is a typical superhero movie. It does feel like that cookie cutter superhero movie where the hero finds a way to destroy the bad guy, and they have this fight scene that is equal parts of them. Like, they're fighting in equal...
This is winning, now I'm losing.
No. They're equal playing field. Like, it's not Venom versus a human. It's Venom versus another symbiote. I mean, in superhero movies, you see this a lot. Iron Man, it's almost every time. Iron Man always has to fight a robot or whatnot.
A robot.
Captain America always has to fight another super soldier and whatnot. Thor has to fight another god. That's how it is. Wolverine
has to fight a Hulk?
Huh? They did Abomination in that movie, in the one Hulk movie, or both Hulk movies. He fights a equal part bad guy to them. So they don't stray away from that. It's exactly the same thing. I don't mind that. I mean, I wanted more.
Yeah, like I wouldn't mind it. Like I wouldn't be so opposed to following the rules of that type of movie, but it's just that it's the anti-hero-ness, or that it's a villain, is supposed to be good. It's like, I don't know, it's like going to go watch the Joker, and then all of a sudden he's like,
we will watch the Joker.
Yeah, no, and then he's gonna go save the burning house of children because it's the right thing to do. He's not gonna go save them because it works to his advantage and ends up killing them anyway.
Yeah,
like that would have been a better story, I think, because we all understand that they're bad guys.
So,
but I think you just can't do that in this day and age or whatever. But you wouldn't make money off of it if you came out with him being a bad guy.
Yep,
like straight through.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can have a bad guy is if it's against the hero, or the sidekick or whatever.
So earlier reports, or not reports, when this film was in production, they used to say the director said that the movie was going to be like a very horror type movie. Like, you'll feel like you're in a horror movie.
That would have been better.
Yeah, but they strayed away.
That's not what happened at all.
They strayed away more.
Well, I mean, it was a horror. They had a horror director. That would be perfect.
Yeah, right? Yes. They strayed away from that because you don't make movies. It's hard to sell that, a superhero that also a horror movie. We'll find out next year with New Mutants. I don't know. Mutants. That's what it's called. New Mutants.
With Joker?
Huh?
With the Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh, the Joaquin Phoenix is a whole different movie. I mean, that's the Joker. It's right there. No, that's not a horror.
New Mutant thing.
New Mutants is the X-Men movie. That's a horror movie. It's like the last of the few X-Men movies that are coming out before the.
But it has nobody in it.
That I know of. Like, I only saw like one trailer, and that's it. Mm. But yeah. Okay. So at this point, we're just gonna talk about spoilers. So wait. Before that, did you like the movie?
Yeah.
You did?
I like the Venom parts. I don't need to hear his other stuff.
I like the movie. It's not a movie where I'll tell you guys like, go watch it. Even though the movie made $80 million, the biggest opening ever.
I think because people anticipated that it'd be better.
Mm-hmm. And made $200 million worldwide, the biggest Spider-Man verse movie ever too. So surprisingly, a lot of people are watching this movie, so it might get a sequel to it. We'll discuss that more after spoilers. But yeah, so at this point we'll be discussing spoilers and our favorite things about the movie and the things that we probably hated about the movie. Let's go first. What did you like about the movie, like scene wise and
I like when later on we were discussing it, like I think it was, I don't know, like how you said, maybe they weren't that smart that it was supposed to be something about mental illness.
Oh, yes.
Because they had a lot of the homeless, like that's what he was fighting for. Like mm-hmm. the people who don't have a voice, like the homeless people. He was nice to the homeless people. He didn't ignore them. He knew their names and things like
they
that.
They give money. But that's the only little things he does. Like they don't show, he only interacts with one person who's homeless and that's it. Like you don't, I wish there's more scenes like that where he's actually interacting and showing him like how good he is in San Francisco.
Well, then they had to show that he had a personal connection to her too.
Yeah, yes. Because she shows up later on in the movie. What else?
And then where like when he was coping with Venom, where it looked like that he was a schizophrenic or things like that, and I feel like the only reason why when they broke up and then they gave her a doctor boyfriend was that so like when he did come up to around her, she didn't freak out. Because I honestly would have freaked out if my ex came over here and was looked like he was coming off of a drug high or something that. But the doctor boyfriend was like, no, he's sick. We gotta take him. You know, he's obviously, you know, he's not crazy. He's sick. You know, so she's like, oh, okay. You know?
So like we were discussing after the movie that it might be a message for mental illness where you don't push away. You try to help that person in need and not just like, he might just go away and stuff like that.
And it doesn't ever really go away. You just learn how to cope with it.
Cope with it.
Yeah, Venom, because he never leaves. That's something. He's going to have a duality now, but he will be able to...
But I don't know, like we also said...
That's a lot of people with mental illness. Mm-hmm. That's something that you don't... You can't cure it. You can't like take a medicine and it gets better. You can take medicine and do therapies to help cope with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I guess this is, because it's a parasite. You don't really get rid of that.
Yeah. So like we said earlier, I don't know if this movie's that smart. If the writers were like, oh, let's talk about that. But I haven't read reviews of this movie, so I don't know if anyone mentions that. Like if they mention like it might be about that. But I think they portray it well.
I don't think they were, because it annoyed me so much of how the things were. If it was written to that way where it's like, oh, okay, then I don't think I would have been annoyed by it, by the weirdness about it.
And the movie is very weird. What else? Anything else you want to say about?
What was it? I don't know, what was it like? You said like you had talked about how they were they added Venom scenes.
So
a voiceover.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so
like somebody like somebody had to go in and edit,
punch
like,
it up.
Yeah, yeah.
The term they use in the industry where it seems like things that I read in the internet where they added the voices of Venom. So in the movie, Venom. Is I don't know who portrays the voice of Venom. I don't know if it is Tom Hardy.
I think
Hardy.
It is, because on there they show them both.
Okay, so Tom Hardy and or Eddie Brock and Venom are talking to each other. In the comic books, when you see that, you only hear Venom's voice. Like, you don't really see him, like, fighting Eddie Brock or Eddie Brock inside him, inside Venom, you know, in his stomach, talking to Eddie Brock. It's always, like, we, like, or whatnot. So, it's very weird.
Because Venom makes the decisions, right?
Yeah.
When he's Venom.
Mm-hmm. It's very weird to see Venom, and he's talking with his Venom voice, or like that. And you hear Tom Hardy's, like, doing his Eddie Brock and saying, like, maybe we shouldn't do this. Yeah. It's like, what's happening? Like,
I think it was weird too, was that when he's a journalist, he's all big and tough and on top of the world. And then when he loses everything, then he gets all scared and all that stuff. So because, it's weird.
It is weird. So his body type is very muscular, Tom Hardy, but it makes it seem like he doesn't do muscular stuff. Like, he doesn't do workout. He probably does. But when he does fight... I think
there were some weights there.
Yeah. When he does fight, it feels like he doesn't know how to fight. But when he's Venom, he knows everything. Like, he uses his venomous things.
And then, like we said, too, where, like, in the very beginning, when Venom came about and you started to hear him talk, it appeared that he could...
see the future.
Yeah, or, like, way. Preemptively, like...
The Spidey sense.
Yeah.
But that he gets out from Spider-Man. Yeah. In this one, it's weird because...
He used it in the first fight, and every other fight, he didn't. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't predict when, what's his name? It's coming for him, the
riot
and stuff like that. Like, why doesn't he predict his punches and stuff like that? And
I mean, that could be that because that guy is bigger and better.
Probably, yeah. Like, he mentions, like, he has all the tools, like, more worse.
Shit you haven't seen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Seen. I mean, we've seen a knife and a gun before. Do you have anything else to add more?
I know you talk.
So, the things I like about the movie is the weirdness of it. It does feel like it's a whole different, like, a movie they're experimenting on. It's like an experimental movie where they do the duality of Venom and Eddie Brock. I thought that was weird, but fun at times.
Do you think that was a good choice to go with the Eddie Brock character and not, like, a Flash Thompson character?
Yeah, because Flash Thompson is more of a... he's a military, so he is more direct, more focused, more...
Could he still show up, do you think, in here?
Yes, he can still. Because, so they have said this is not part of the MCU. This is part of the Spider-Verse. I forgot what it's called. It's called, like, Marvel Spider-Man Universe or something like that. So it's a... They have okay with Marvel to use certain elements of the MCU, but they can't show them inside the MCU. That's how it is. So they can probably mention Tony Stark or whatnot, or say something, but they can't make definite...
Well, they said Daily Bugle. Like, yeah. You can
Actually, they say the Daily...
Planet?
Not Planet. That's Superman. Oh, God. It's a newspaper where Eddie Brock gets fired from... It's a competitor of the Bugle. I went online to figure out, like, what is it? What did they say? Because he didn't sound like he said the Bugle. They said something else.
Yeah.
I forgot what
But whenever he said it, like, it charmed in my head something to oh, this is familiar.
So there's, like, elements of the Spider-Verse in here where they mention, like, so, like
what else?
So, like, when the spaceship is landing.
Oh, that guy.
The guy. So it's the son of J. Jameson. But they don't call him from the first name. I think his name is, like, Thomas or something like that. Thomas Jameson. I forgot. But they mentioned that he's on board and stuff. And they show him, actually. So it's like, okay, he's in there. But, you know, they won't show JJ because it's not part of the MCU. Or we don't even know if JJ's part of the MCU because they don't even mention him at all. Or the Daily Bugle at all in that universe. Yeah, like those little hints and stuff like that. And I learned, this movie is actually based on a series, a comic series of Venom called Life Protector or something Protector. I forgot what the name.
It's that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, this is weird.
So it is based on, it is based on this.
It's based off of a one-off, so it's not based off Venom per se.
It's a Venom comic book series. So they had a storyline.
But it's based on a one-off, though.
Not a one-off. It's a probably like couple episodes, several issues. But so that it's a storyline in that.
Where he protects issue. Life, where he wants to protect
Yes. Not Earth, San Francisco. It actually takes place in San Francisco. Mm. So you can go to YouTube if you guys are interested in learning this. That's what I did because I was like, I've never heard of any of this stuff. Is this like a real storyline? And mm-hmm. I said, it actually is a real story with the actual guy, the, what's his name is playing? Oh, man, I turn off the IMDb.
The lifelong?
Life transformation or... what is it called?
Long live life.
Life something. Transformation or something like that. I forgot the name of the business that is the villain, the big bad guy in this movie. But Riz Ahmed is in the movie. And he plays a character that's in that storyline, the actual antagonist and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, so... it is a based on thing. I like that overall aspect. The movie's surprisingly funny in things. Mm-hmm. So we learn this surprise that Venom in his world, he's a loser too. So yeah. I did not expect that. I don't know if that's canon in the comic, but I was like, what? Like he's a loser too? Like that, and he likes Eddie Brock, but he's a loser too. So they have like a kindred spirit of being losers, but together, but together they found each other and their bodies match better than anyone else. Like Venom had that homeless woman that they didn't match, but with Eddie Brock, it's like perfect match. So he liked that, and I guess Venom liked his good heartedness, that's why he stayed with him. Mm-hmm. And
like right before he fell off the cliff, he goes, "You changed my mind."
Yeah,
and
yes, like, yes. I love you. So that was cool. There was a scene in this movie in the very beginning. I whispered to you, like, this sounds like John Carpenter's
the theme. Oh, yeah, the music. Yeah.
Like, but they only do that in that one scene. It doesn't come back at all in that movie.
That's
like,
probably the horrorness that they're
That synth music is like what I love about that 80s music or that genre. And they only do that one scene and that's it. And
I bet you they filmed it like a horror thing. Mm-hmm. And like you probably could do another edit.
So... Tom Hardy has said that there's probably about 30 minutes of film that they don't use in the movie. But it's the stuff that he likes a lot. So I wonder if it is that horror aspect that we're missing in the
movie.
Where
it's more Venom mm-hmm. focus, or like where he does things where he kills people and do all that stuff.
Eat more brains, or heads.
Pancreas,
and chocolate. Chocolate. That's what I say.
He's scared of fire.
Yes. Yeah. That's my overall thoughts about that, or the spoiler stuff. Anything else to add?
I mean, it wasn't bad. I don't think it was a bad movie.
No, it's not a bad movie, but it's very different. Like, if you're expecting this welcome to the hard car moment. if you're going to the movie and expecting, this is going to be like Deadpool, rated R, law blood, thing. It's not like that. In this movie? I don't even think they do. If they do, it's that type of blood where it's really quick, like a splash, and that's it. They don't literally show someone getting eaten, even though they eat his whole body. I didn't know that at one point.
He kept saying heads, but...
In the first two, he ate heads.
Yeah, because he's like, he likes that, where he likes to stack the body. He said, I want to stack the heads and stack the bodies. And
yeah.
If they would have ran more with thatness, mm-hmm. I thought that would probably be... more entertaining film. Mm-hmm.
Well, they did the big thing. No. Tom Hanks big, where he's like, "Oh, I have a Venom body," and tries to go to a toy store. And I don't know what I'm talking about. That's Shazam. I'm missing the Z.
I think all you have is Z's in there.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for Venom. So I want to point out to an article that's on the Hollywood Reporter. It's actually written by one of our podcast friends, Richard Newby. He's guest on our episodes before, but he made this really cool article. I haven't read it all. I read some of it, but it's the title of the article is Where a Venom Sequel Should Go. And he mentions different storylines of certain characters. Like I said earlier, that Jameson's in here. So Jameson in the son of Jameson is also another character called like Manwolf or something. I forgot the name. Manwolf.
Manwolf.
He turns into Manwolf when he goes up his face and he gets this weird diamond, whatever, not this ruby or whatever on his chest, he becomes a man robe. They also mentioned Carnage a little bit. So in the end credits of the movie, they mention or they show Woody Harrelson as Cassidy, Cletus Cassidy, and everyone knows he's Carnage and he's like the bad Venom. It gets worse, right? Like, this Venom is the bad Spider-Man and Carnage is the worse Venom. And things. So they read the article. It's really cool. Cool. But it's very informative article about if you want to know where they can go from here. It looks like they might be getting a sequel. The movie's only made, I believe, like the production is only like under 130 million. And you times that by two because of marketing, so it's like about 260. And the movie already made 200 million, and that's the first week. So they will get all their money back plus more, so they probably will do a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, maybe that horror sequel with Carnage would kind of be kind of cool.
But yeah, maybe you have to wait for more scariness.
Mm-hmm. With this.
Is he scary, or is he just like... he like
think about the care. Joker. That's how
he doesn't care, and he'll just chew and kill.
Yep, yeah, he's like the.
Is he just a serial killer?
He's a serial killer. Yeah,
but what's? But how come? Why is he special, not other serial? But
he will kill everyone. Like, you mean Cassidy?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know anything about him that well. Besides, he's a serial killer, and he has a really bad wig in the movie.
Horrible.
Venom. Oh yeah, that weird. Venom. Eminem song. But yeah, that's it for now for the episode.
Okay, bye.
For now. Oh, we're back. Yeah, you guys thought we left, but we just stayed silent for a little bit. So, this is the end of the episode. And like any end of the episode, before we go, is there anything you want to recommend before we go?
No, you always forget to tell me about this, and then I don't have anything prepared.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nothing off the top of your head that you saw.
What is it? Like the best of 2018? Is that what it's
been? Oh, no, not this, not that.
Well, what are you talking about now?
We do the like little recommendation that we, the stuff that we didn't really discuss in the episode, but you're either like watching or playing.
Still. Oh, on Netflix, Travels with My Father with, what's his name? Can you look it up?
It's like almost like it's a traveling show with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot his name too. It's comedian,
yeah,
and
the British guy.
I think this is why Ben has us on a schedule because
we never get anything.
No,
right.
No. Right now, I'm just like
he's probably really mad at us.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hear it all day.
We're not gonna meet our hours that we do every time. Okay, I am not going to go on Netflix and try to find this thing right now because...
What's his name, though? Shit. Whitehall. Something Whitehall. Type in Whitehall.
Netflix Whitehall?
I mean, that's his last name.
Oh.
Jack Whitehall. Jack Whitehall Travels with My Father. It's the second season.
Oh, it just started with the second season.
No, I watched the first season already. Oh, okay. But the second season is up now.
So check that out. Sure. I want to recommend a podcast that I'm listening to that is not Marvel related. It's called Threedom. It has Paul F. Tompkins, Scott Aukerman, and Laura Lamkes. It's one of our favorite three people in the improv and comedy world. So they have a new podcast. Actually, it's an older podcast, but now it's free. So I'm mentioning all this stuff. Like last week, it used to be a paid podcast that Marvel Long Night, that now is free. Like you now they're releasing it as their free episodes. Same thing with Threedom. You can look it up. I think there's two episodes right now, and I think I don't know how many they made, but it's like a season of Threedom. So yeah, check that out if you enjoy improv comedy and just people talking. So they're not really doing improv, it's just them talking. If you're a fan of them, I recommend it. If you're not and you're just going in blind, I still recommend it. I think they're some of the funniest people out right now. And yeah, just check them out if you want some comedy in your ears.
Hold.
Besides this episode. Yeah, this is funny.
Funny.
It's a funny episode.
Funny.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us. If you're interested in following us and all the social media things, well, not all of them, just the first two or the top two, Twitter, just add us at TFA now, or like us on Facebook by searching The Freaking Awesome. We'll be there. We also have a Discord server that no one's on, and we'll have a link on our page if you're interested. What's a Discord server? It's basically like a...
I think I asked this before, but I'm going to ask again.
Discord server.
Message board?
Message board. It's literally message board.
Why did you just say message board?
I don't know. It's not the new... I think we did a bit on this, but I forgot what was it again.
It's not a bit. It's a real question. I don't
know. Remember to subscribe on iTunes and on Google Play. Google Play changed the thing. I still haven't looked at how they changed it. If you have any questions or comments about this episode or any episodes in the past, just contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. We're back still, though. So, if you want to check me out at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018, it's almost ending. It's October, guys. Two more months to enjoy my feed. Just check me out at Abire Arts. And where do they can check you out?
On Instagram at RedMC.
Okay. This is a hidden Instagram that I don't know about.
It's not hidden. It's just,
you know. The Red Vino guys on there with beards or glasses, I'm saying.
Yeah, well, no glasses, I don't think.
Really? No it's glasses? Beard. That's it's weird. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's the other guy. I forgot. You sure he's not the other guys on there, too?
I mean, maybe because they're friends. Probably.
But yeah, that's it, everyone. Thank you for listening. And that was the Freaking Awesome Podcast.